96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I'm the manager.
Well, you're wasting your time, Mr. Manager.
You gotta be kidding me.
You're wasting your time.
Really?
These clients of yours, these rappers,
yeah,
they look like gang members.
You can't come down here and arrest people just because of what they look like. Are you crazy? But that's police harassment.
You said you're a manager, right?
Yeah.
Not a lawyer.
Does that matter? You cannot come down here and harass these guys because they're black.
Straight out of Compton. A brother with his finger on the trigger. But once I take out, my rep gets bigger. I'm the roof is filling and you know this.
Yeah, that's one of the most poignant scenes from the blockbuster movie Straight Outta Compton, the movie that chronicles the rise of West Coast hip-hop group N.W.A. It is more than just a movie. It was a tale of the streets and a foreshadowing of things to come. Joining me to talk about the then and the now are Tim Gordon, chairman and executive director of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association, and Winsome Sinclair, casting producer. Lines are open, and we do have a spoiler alert. If you haven't seen the movie, we are going to be talking about some of the things that have happened in the movie. So just want to let you know about that. But the lines are open, so definitely if you want to talk about the movie, some of the things that happened, so much to talk about, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. And certainly if you're on Twitter, you know, we are on the hashtag The Daily Drum. Tim, Winsome, thanks for joining the conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is what I have. Let's talk about some numbers right now. $144 million gross since August 14th. 3 weeks at the top of the box office, took $29 million to make. May not be number one this week, but still incredible. Ladies first, Winsome, your thoughts about the success of this movie?
It makes me excited about the, you know, about this genre of filmmaking. It makes me excited to be a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that this is, like, when you see a film like this, I remember why I chose to be in this industry.
Yeah.
Everything,
yeah.
I mean, as far as F. Gary Gregg is concerned, he wins.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You know, it was a phenomenal job. I believe Matthew Libatique was the cinematographer. Well shot. And the actors, I mean, they came straight out of nowhere, and they were phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. And same thing for you, Tim. Are you surprised at all?
I'm actually shocked. I remember opening weekend, you know, I normally track the numbers around noon on Sunday when they announce them. And when the initial number was 56 to 57 million, and then I think they adjusted it the next day to 60 million. And I was just flabbergasted. I tried to explain to people why this was such a big deal, that we had a biopic, you know, that was about a group that hadn't had an album out in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
A cast of unknown actors. They did I just think Universal is just kind of thanking themselves. They're just kind of like head over heels with themselves with how well this film has performed. The marketing on the film was excellent. If you remember on social media, the whole straight out of the whole meme campaign,
right,
that everybody was, I'm straight out of this city, straight out of that area.
You're straight out of somewhere.
You know, they did a magnificent job. The only black eye I would give Universal was hiring the extra additional security the opening weekend, anticipating something might happen. That kind of rubbed people the wrong way. But other than that, everything about this effort has been amazing. The filmmaking, as your guests just said, the performances in the film, the way the story was told, how they took a story that people knew and kind of extracted that out and produced such a winning film.
But did they know the story, because I think that and let us say, you know, for the old hip hop heads, you know, this was when all of this stuff was happening. This was pre-internet. Mm-hmm. Okay, this was pre-social media. All right, and you know, it, arguably, when people thought about hip hop was maybe considered an East Coast thing. It was considered a New York thing, Sugar Hill Gang and all of that. And when you started talking about some of the stories that were coming from the streets, some of that hardcore, the hardcore tales of police brutality, of poverty, of hustling, of the rough side of growing up in urban neighborhoods, a lot of that stuff was going on in New York, and then this stuff came out in the late 80s and the early 90s, and the beats were different and all of that. But I think also the tales were really different and a bit of a surprise.
No, I would agree. I think that when people give N.W.A. a lot of credit for being kind of like the pioneers of gangster rap. Truth be told, Philadelphia had Schoolie D back in the mid-80s who did a song called PSK. Ice-T had done Six in the Morning probably a year before N.W.A. came out. But what N.W.A. did, which I thought was amazing at the time, is it was really the one group that kind of broke down that wall as it relates to kind of language, rawness, real. I remember listening to that album the first time back in 1988 and just having my mind blown, going, they're letting these guys do this on record. So it was revolutionary 25 years ago, and that they were able to bridge that gap and bring that experience to the big screen. I think F. Gary Gray is... your guest said
Winsome.
Earlier.
Yeah,
Winsome said earlier has done an amazing job in telling the story.
But let's get to the issue, because as we heard in that scene that we played about police harassment and with the LAPD and the and NWA when they were outside of the recording studio, it didn't have to be. The late 80s, you know, you could argue that that could have been a recording studio in New York City in 2015, or a recording studio in, some could argue, in Philadelphia or in D.C. In 2015 or 2014. I want to go to the phones and find out, do you believe that this movie really is it really prophetic? What, you know, was N.W.A. really talking about what was happening or could happen, 20 or 30 years from now? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. William, calling from Northwest D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think the movie was successful because it could reflect what's going on right now. But the thing that I thought that was really interesting about it is a lot of people think that people are just in the right place at the right time.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is what you saw with this movie was that you had a group of men, you know, young men who were very talented, highly intelligent, and who worked very hard. And that's what led to their success. It wasn't that they, you know, came up with something at the right place at the right time and weren't people who were, you know, really about their craft, who just were fortunate. These were outstanding artists, which has been reflected by what they've done since then. You know, they've been successful. Eazy, you know, his life ended too soon, but Ice Cube and Dr. Dre have been successful, highly successful to this day. So,
yeah.
You know, it really showed that these people were really bright stars.
Okay. I appreciate that. When we come back, we have Winsome back on the line. I want to talk about, they say Black Lives Matter, Black Movies Matter. Winsome, I want to get a woman's take on this movie as well. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about Straight Outta Compton, 202-319-7810, 855-288-4876. We'll be back in a bit.
Tell them where you're from.
Straight Outta Compton. A brother with his finger on the... When I'm down for a jack move, here's a murderer.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about the issues raised in the blockbuster movie Straight Outta Compton, the movie that chronicles the rise of West Coast hip-hop group N.W.A. My guests are Tim Gorton, chairman and executive director of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association, and Winsome Sinclair, casting producer. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Winsome, from a woman's perspective, there were some hard truths about that came out through this movie. Even in the first scene, there were some disrespectful names being called of women. There was, of course, the Bi Felicia scene, which, while funny, was still perhaps to some women not so funny. From if you could take off your professional hat and just keep the woman's hat on, your thoughts about that?
You know, it's I guess 26 years in the industry. My professional hat is difficult to come off. But from a woman's standpoint, here's what I will say. Mm-hmm. I will say that what they reflected in the film was what was going on. I would rather a film be truthful
mm-hmm.
than polite.
Yeah.
You know, and what they were was truthful. That is what was going on in hip-hop, how hip-hop artists were behaving. And if it had been any other way, it would have not been the truth. It would have been inauthentic. And then I think the audience, especially those of us who lived it, because I grew up with it, you know, with this music, would be like, something's not right here. We would have been offended.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. It makes sense to me. Steve, calling from Sterling, Virginia. What's on your mind?
Hey, man, first of all, about the Felicia. Felicia broke a rule. I'm from Inglewood and was in that set. Felicia broke a rule. She had a man. Her man came up with a gun. After they dispensed with him, they dispensed with her. She broke a rule.
Yeah.
So that's all that's not about. It's nothing disrespectful about that. Hey, I got a man. Oh, well, baby, you can't come with us what we're doing. Number two, my first thing is, the next thing is, that's not new. You got to go back to Strange Fruit, Billie Holiday, Jack Johnson. He's been singing and crying and complaining about the same thing for 100 years. Marvin Gaye. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Police brutality. It's still going on. NWA just spelled it out point blank. And, yeah, I was in L.A. And Daryl Gates was worse. They brought in Williams after that, was even worse than that. You know, and I'm older now, you know, and I'm more composed. But back in those days, the police weren't respected. I don't respect a lot of police officers now. They got to earn the respect and NWA put it out there where they could hear it and everybody could really understand it and see it.
Yeah. Steve, I think you are representative of a lot of people out there of a certain age who lived through it, whether you lived on the West Coast, East Coast, black people who look at it from a different perspective. I appreciate you giving us a call. We're going to go back to the phones after a break. So if you're on the line, Karen in Maryland, Lauren in Northeast, stay with us. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810 outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. We're talking about Straight Outta Compton. Of course, The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds.